Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Eve. It's Thursday, and time to toast all the great arts and entertainment of the Sioux Empire. I'm Dave Holly, and this is episode number 16, which of course means we have to call this one Sweet 16. Mwah! Nothing like well-coined phrases, cliches, or being trite, huh? On that note, check out my first blog titled The Trite Society. The Holly Days blog can be found on the show website, DaveHollyHour.com. Website still needs some tweaking. Calendar is still under construction until I can figure out an efficient way to get items listed weekly. We will touch on some of the things happening this weekend toward the end of the show. Lots of events from last weekend had to be postponed or canceled because of Mother Nature. One of those postponements, hypnotist Jesse Moffat at the Sky Lounge and Tea. That will now be Saturday, February 15th. Showtime, 9 p.m. Couple of notes about the Sky. I will be hosting Super Bowl trivia there tomorrow night, Friday night, 7. And drum roll, please. Please welcome the Sky Lounge as the newest sponsor of the Dave Holly Hour podcast. Regular listeners, you know we always give an honorable mention each show to someone that has made me giggle, struck the funny bone, put a smile on my face, just simply made me go, huh. This week, that someone is actually a something. Well, no, someone was driving the vehicle. After being snowed in at the Dipsy Doodle Studios most of last weekend, thanks to a neighbor, our driveway was finally cleared out Sunday morning. Having a bit of cabin fever, we escaped Shangri-La and ventured out to church then, since most of the pre-blizzard provisions were getting a little thin. We made our way to our favorite neighborhood eatery. I have mentioned Kalati's at 26th and Minnesota in Sioux Falls on this show before as one of Dave's faves. We sat in a booth facing Minnesota Avenue. Mind you, there's no service road, as the restaurant is just a few yards from the street. There is a nice parking lot that had been cleared, and the sidewalk was cleared quite well between the street and the building. So well that someone decided to use it as a service road to get to the parking lot. Giggling as well as, huh, and albeit a Sunday, pretty sure I said, what the hell? Yeah, just a strange sight. Alrighty. Again, welcome everyone. As per usual, I'm putting this week's show together with a Jack Daniels in hand and studio mascot Lucy and Margaret, the prettiest of kittiest, comfortably by my side to bring you this week's Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. Tons of things available for you to take in this weekend, including Snow Jam Comedy Fest. One of its organizers, Luke Johnson, spent some time to give us the rundown. He's coming up later in the show, but first, we meet the brand new executive director of the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society, Alex Gilbert Schrog, after this message. For the Sky Lounge.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back, and it is an exciting time in the arts and entertainment community around the Sioux Empire because Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues has a new executive director, and she is kind enough to join us here on the Dave Holly Hour. Alex Gilbert Schrag, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is great. You've come a long ways for this job, but you do have some South Dakota roots.
I do.
Yeah, so talk about that first.
Yes. So I have grown up since the day I was born visiting Sioux Falls and the area nearby, Freeman, South Dakota specifically, because my family, my mom's side of the family, lived in Freeman. And so I visited 2 to 3 times a year and spent time in Sioux Falls. And we went down to Yankton a lot because that was pretty easy to get to from Freeman, and spent a lot of time in Freeman, which was great. And I loved it growing up. And, you know, my mom, my brother and I had never really lived in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And hilariously, in the last like 6 years, all of us have ended up living now. Yeah. So my
mom, it's drawing you home.
It has really drawn us home. But you know, it was one of those things in the back of my head where I was like, oh, it'd be really fun to live in South Dakota. It was kind of something that I wanted to experience. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. And it just ended up working out perfectly in that, you know, my mom moved back about 5-6 years ago to start renovating the family farm.
Okay.
And the homestead. So we sold most of the land around it just so that way we are not farmers. Disclaimer. But she started renovating the homestead, and I spent all of my vacation days coming back to try and help, and quickly realized that I was spending as much time as I could here, and I was ready for a change too.
So were you looking specifically for a job in Sioux Falls, or were you looking for something in the arts realm, and it popped?
Not exactly. So we actually moved here in August of 2018, so a little over a year ago. And when I first got here, I still had some gigs back in DC lined up, and I go back to work for the Kennedy Center here and there. And when we first got here, I was kind of figuring out what the lay of the land was because I didn't know the Sioux Falls art scene as well. And once I'd gotten a little bit more experience and kind of looking around, I started to apply for some jobs, but they didn't really quite work out, or they weren't quite in my field. And then over the last few weeks, officially 2 weeks ago, as of today, I was announced, but a little bit before that, Beth and Trigg, the president of the board, and then also our former executive director now, were kind of beating me over the head with like, don't you want to give this a shot? And it was hard to say no because it seemed perfect.
Well, it is a great position. And as you mentioned, Trigg was most recent for the executive director. And my understanding is he's also going to be here kind of helping you get your feet under you in the end of this as well.
Yeah, he's been hanging out with me the last couple of weeks and has now finally stopped showing up in the office quite as much. And, you know, but it's funny, I had to call him today to ask him a question. He'd be like, hey, what's going on with this? And, you know, he's been the best resource and probably the best, you know, previous executive director in terms of him just wanting to make sure that I succeed.
Right.
Which I'm grateful for.
Well, let's talk about the background and what made it special that it was going to work out that you could take over a position like this. You hinted at it briefly there, DC and Kennedy Center.
Yes.
Wow. You're a young lady. That's some pretty heady stuff.
Well, I think it's all about the right time and the right place. Mm-hmm. And I always said yes to everything.
Okay.
I never said no. So I originally I'm from Oregon, so my mom ended up settling out in Oregon and had us kids. And when I was about 16, I was playing organ, the instrument, and we went out to Eastman School of Music in upstate New York for a music camp. And ironically, at the same time, my brother took a couple lessons because he's a violinist with a violin teacher there. And separately, knowing to each other, each of our professors asked my mom if she would consider moving us to Rochester, New York from Oregon. And my mom was like, well, they've both asked. This must be a sign.
Wow.
And so we ended up, when I was about 16, I think I was in my senior year of high school, we left in the middle of my senior year of high school and moved to Rochester. And I got to start studying with a professor and took about a year off in between high school and community Eastman, and did some community college classes and practiced a lot, and then got into, you know, Eastman School of Music and was starting out as a freshman there. And when I started spending more time outside of the classroom and outside of my practice room than I should have, I became class president. I was really focused on learning everyone else's instruments because I found it so exciting and I did not want to perform. I was like, oh, that's not a great choice. Uh-huh. So I kind of reevaluated that decision, and I ended up going to community college then for 2 years and transferred to American University in DC, where I finished my degree. And I was lucky enough that the minute that I got to American, they basically shove you right back out the door to go find an internship, because they're firm believers in that internships and connections mm-hmm. will be what gets you into a good position.
So what's the degree actually in?
Well, music performance with an arts management focus. It was just like coming full circle, which is kind of funny. But so I ended up in DC and had an internship at the Kennedy Center during a semester, and it was actually with the opera company. And I ended up meeting some other folks at the Kennedy Center, and my boss, who I ended up working for, Matthew Weiner, who headed the special programming department at the time, didn't have anyone working for him and was like, you like to do special events? And I was like, yes, I do. And he was like, you want to come work for me? And so I got hired in the middle of my senior year of college, and that was that.
Excellent. And that's a big part of it. I mean, first of all, when I was reading about you, when the news came out a couple of weeks ago, it's like, okay, first of all, got to get her on the show.
Yeah.
But second of all, it's like, wow, Kennedy Center Honors, because that is absolutely one of my favorite nights of television every year. Mm-hmm. So that had to be a thrill that you were, you know, not only employed, but employed doing some really, really cool stuff in what you were destined to do, apparently.
Yeah, well, and a lot of that just had to do with timing, really. And while I was at the Kennedy Center, Honors had been produced by the same producers for many, many years, and then they decided to kind of pass the torch. And so in that moment, the Kennedy Center got to pick new producers to work with, but also maybe take a little bit more control of the production as well, because since it was brand new for both teams, and I just happened to be there, and you know, I had a good team that trusted me to come in, and I got to create a lot of things because I worked for the honorees specifically. So the honorees were you know, my responsibility the whole weekend. So I know they're such a handful. No, honestly, that's probably it's my favorite gig for sure. At the Kennedy Center.
It would be pretty tough to top that. So how are you going to take this job and by the end of your term go, I did top it?
Well, I think what I didn't get to do as much at the Kennedy Center, just because we had an entire department that focused on it, was the educational components. And for me, you know, I was working in the fundraisers and helping to raise money for all of this, and that was great. But I didn't get to see what was happening on, you know, the boots on the ground type of thing. And so by coming into this position with, of course, the elephant in the room, Jazz Fest, being on hiatus.
We were going to get to it.
Of course. But with that being on hiatus, I'm given the freedom to not only make sure that our educational programs are sustained through that, but also to expand them. And that is something that I have been dying to do. And maybe it's not working with honorees, you know, it's not working with Wayne Shorter or LL Cool J, but at the same time, it's getting to see kind of and help where I came from, because I was a young musician, you know? So it's nice to be able to give back in that capacity. And I think that might actually top it. We'll see.
Okay. And you never know. Maybe one of those that you do work with will become the next LL Cool J.
Oh my goodness. That would be probably the top. That would be really cool to get to be at least a little bit of part of helping someone to achieve that level of, you know, artistry.
So besides the education, as we move through the season, what do we have on tap that everyone should be knowing about? I know there's some big shows coming up real soon.
Yes, really, really soon. So I think our next big show that we have coming up is Anthony Gomez. We're actually doing a ticket giveaway on our Facebook page in case anybody wants to win tickets. But yes, he is on February 7th, I think it is off the top of my head. So he's going to be, it's actually First Friday. So he's coming in. He's a blues guitarist. I've been listening to him nonstop, and he's got this really edgy sound, which I'm really excited about. And I don't think I've ever really seen anyone kind of with that unique sound. So that's really exciting. And then, We have Kiana Linnell performing as well, and she's collaborated with, you know, people like Terrence Blanchard and is a really kind of up-and-coming jazz singer. She's so smooth. Her voice is, you know, one of those voices where you're like, wait, does that actually come out of your mouth? Like, that is just beautiful.
That's not processed?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's just natural? What? So she's in March. We're going to have her perform March 20th. And then in April, because it's Jazz Appreciation Month, mm-hmm. April 3rd, we have Slim Mann, who has been to Sioux Falls before, so I'm sure a lot of folks probably know of
him. We'll go for the return trip on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Yep. And we also have Jazz Crawl, which dates to be determined, but we're going to do that in April again, which is our event. And
it's a fun time.
Yeah.
We've done that the past few years, and
yes.
Really, really enjoy it.
Yeah. So we've got quite a few things, and, you know, of course, programmatically, my brain's going and I want to get some other things up off the ground, but also doing all of our educational programming, which, you know, includes Jazz Camp, which happens in July. And then also we have the Jazz Diversity Project, which we send out to the schools in the area, and they do, you know, multimedia presentation and performance. So we have quite a bit happening in the next few months.
So education's on the agenda.
Yes.
We've got some great shows that are coming. What do you want to see it go into beyond that? What's the top that Alex Gilbert-Schrag has in her mind right now that's just buzzing, obviously?
Oh, my goodness.
With ideas.
Well, besides, I mean, I would really like to look at our local music scene. And obviously, we have a lot of really great local partners between our wine bar doing jazz nights every Thursday. I want to make sure that we're supporting that. And I was talking to Brian Hannigan from Augustana, and Augustana has so much happening within jazz stuff. And they have their own jazz band festival in March. So there's a lot of things that I feel like we haven't necessarily been a part of in the past that we can kind of help out with that I'm looking forward to collaborating on. But I really want to be able to help elevate the local scene and really kind of put more of a spotlight on that. So whether that's, you know, having a concert series, which is maybe more based on local folks, and kind of having that be the focus, that is kind of something that I have going on in my head. I, of course, would love to start, you know, like jazz swing nights, where, you know, all the ideas. And then with education programs, we're looking at kind of maybe changing, well, adding actually, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but jazz is one of the few genres that originally started.
Actually American.
Yes, which is not always, you know, we don't get to claim a lot of things as American roots, and that's one of those things. But even beyond that, there's Native American beats that also inspired jazz, and you can kind of trace the lineage back there. But hip hop. There's a huge connection between hip hop and jazz music. So looking at maybe being able to create, you know, an educational component, focusing on that, and also helping to teach young artists how to be a successful musician, which, you know, when you go to music school, they don't teach you business, of course.
Right.
They don't teach you how to record or how to, you know, promote yourself or how to do basic, you know, basic graphic design, and social media is really important. So looking at kind of trying to help create and support those lessons for the young generation. So I think right off the bat, I want to focus local, but I do have a big background in festival production.
And obviously, probably, you know, we used to say Rolodex, but probably quite the contact list on your phone.
Right.
And do you take a look at what's been done here and who you've got on the block and say, you know, who would fit in nicely here would be performer XYZ?
Mm-hmm. I do. But I also, you know, even talking to everyone in Sioux Falls, the landscape has changed so much in what was offered and, you know, supply and demand of what performing arts we had, that I think before I do anything, I want to make sure that educationally we are, you know, on solid ground. And in order to really get the lay of the land, get to know all of my, you know, artistic partners in the community, because I think I love to collaborate, and I think bringing people together is kind of my main focus. And so I'd love to be able to come together with some of those artistic partners and see what we can dream big and do big together. So that's kind of, I hope, on the horizon. And
you've mentioned education quite a bit, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
A great thing. And it's so important to me to hear that. The only thing I been graduated from high school this May. It will be 39 years.
Well, you don't look it.
Well, you're too kind. It also happens to be airwaves that we're talking about. No pictures.
Right.
The only thing I've ever carried with me throughout the 39 years from high school is my Louis Armstrong Jazz Award.
No way.
Yes, it's the only thing that I have remnants of.
Wow.
And it will always be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that fact. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, jazz is an American genre of music.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because when we think education, we think kindergarten through maybe through college.
Mm-hmm.
Are we thinking educating adults more about jazz instead of just providing the great concerts?
Yes. So Jim Spears and I have been talking, and, you know, he does so many things in the arts community. I don't think there's one human who doesn't know who he is.
That's true.
And, you know, they have a program where they kind of focus and do, you know, similar to the way that JDP, which is our Jazz Diversity Project, does the kind of connection for kids where it's a visual presentation and they give you some history about jazz, but they also perform for you, where Jim Spears has done like theme nights outside of Sioux Falls in different areas where they do a performance aspect, but then also educate you about Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know, they pick somebody and they do some sort of an educational component. And I think that a lot of people would be interested in learning more about jazz music and the different, you know, areas within jazz music. And I think that is an opportunity within the concert series, not only supporting our local guys, but using them to help educate people as to why it's important. Because, you know, classical music has seen a decline of audience, and they have been changing things up to get people to come out. And so I think it's our turn to do that, because why not? You know, jazz can be fun too. And I think it's also making it a fun experience in, you know, I've seen jazz when I was in DC. I'd go to like the jazz clubs, which we still have, and they've been around for like 45, 50 years, but they're not huge venues. You know, a lot of them are like small clubs with tables, and it's a little grimy. And, you know, these guys have come through there that have been become great. And I think it'd be nice to be able to also get that kind of a vibe where it's a little bit not quite so presentational.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the other things I wanted to bring up is I remember it's been maybe 15, 20 years ago already where I was watching an NFL game, and it was one of the big playoffs. So they actually showed the national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
It was being played by Chris Bode, the trumpeter.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Hey, it was just here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's what is so great is we get opportunities like that now. Our city is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Our arts and entertainment community is growing leaps and bounds, and has had some things just over the past few years that have made it substantially better.
Oh, yeah.
And so much more opportunity for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And is that one of the key words that you find in Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues?
Yes, there's a lot
opportunity.
Of opportunity.
Yeah.
And even in general, just talking to everybody since, you know, being announced, I've had probably, you know, 1.5 million meetings, and everyone is so excited about where Sioux Falls might go. And I think, you know, just seeing from a visitor standpoint of, you know, visiting over the last however many years, I've come and, you know, never went down to Phillips Avenue until probably like 5 years ago. And then, you know, started exploring and saw that there were little clothing boutiques, and there's little coffee shops that are local, and there's, you know, breweries that are also local, and things were really starting to be what I actually really cherished about DC. Living in a big city, you could find those little local hotspots.
Yes.
And when I started finding them here, I was like, oh, that's a sign, you know. And then the minute that you see apartments go up downtown, you're like, oh, people are living down there.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's like it's really starting to get going. And so it's not just opportunity within music, it's an opportunity within the community to really become quite a cultural statement.
And so many of those places offering live music.
Yeah.
And it's been tremendous. We've seen that growth, as well as the small theater companies. And, you know, basically any place that is serving a beer is going to have some sort of live entertainment.
Yeah. And everyone really wants the arts to succeed.
Yes.
Too, which is
that's true. And,
not
and that's
always the case.
Right. There's not the competition.
No.
Amongst people here.
Mm-mm.
there's all the camaraderie, though.
Yes, I swear. I just feel like, you know, within the jazz circle of guys, you know, they all know each other. And what's been really interesting is to see how they're not competitive with each other. They just all coexist.
That's because they're usually in two or three different bands together.
Yeah,
as well.
Right. You kind of have to coexist. But, you know, they're very... That's not always what I've seen, you know, especially in other cities. I've seen competition between musicians of like, oh, you stole my gig, you know, at this one bar. I usually have that, you know, but when I was talking with Ruben, who plays bass here in Sioux Falls, he mentioned that he just had 2 days off in the entirety of December.
Wow.
Which I was like, wow, that
was one of them, at least Christmas Day.
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe New Year's Eve. I don't know. Probably not. That's not going to happen. But, you know, when he said that, I was like, we have that kind of a demand to be able to sustain that, you know, musical level. That actually kind of blew me away.
Yeah. When you take a look at other markets this size, how do you rank us versus other jazz organizations in, you know, a similar demographic? You know, we're now getting very close to 200,000.
Yeah. You know, I haven't done a ton of research into that yet, just because I've been kind of trying to figure out post, you know, Jazz Fest cancellation about like where the organization stands and what direction we want to go in. But I'm curious to start looking at other jazz, you know, communities, especially there's, you know, I've heard that there's quite a big jazz community down in Omaha blues too, which is another kind of component that we haven't really focused on, I feel like, as much as an organization, is the blues bit. So that's something else that I'd kind of like to be able to highlight. But in terms of really comparing ourselves to another community that's our size, I haven't really done that much research on that.
All right, so
down the road.
We mentioned it early, and as you called it, the big elephant in the room.
Yeah.
The hiatus was the word you used for it.
Yeah.
With Jazz Fest. So we hear a word hiatus, that means coming back.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, coming into it, I got pulled back to DC to produce the Reach Festival over the summer. So I was gone for 3 months straight and missed this year's Jazz Fest. And when I came back, it was crazy. You know, I saw the emails flurrying around about what, you know, the weather that happened on Friday night and everything, you know, and then the artist cancellations, the weather, attendance had been kind of dropping over the last few years. And you know, I feel like this year was literally the perfect storm to make it almost came, you know, for us, we were able to look at numbers and look at everything and just be kind of like, what happened?
Be able to make more of a rational decision about the event versus just emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of, you know, number crunching and looking at the, you know, numbers to see what had, you know, whether or not it might be something that we could do next year. And it just became, you know, to the point where we really needed time to figure out what it's going to look like moving forward, because the model doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And it worked for, oh my goodness, how many years? Like 28 years or something crazy. So, which is amazing. I mean, and it grew from someone's backyard into this ginormous production.
Well, I remember when it was at the baseball stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In about the third year, maybe. And I recall seeing, maybe 500, 600 people at it.
Yeah. Right.
So it grew leaps and bounds.
Yes. And I think, you know, it's nice for me coming into this to have the time to step back and reevaluate and look what really, you know, look at what worked and look at what didn't work and how we can find a middle ground. But then also, instead of maybe our organization always only being the ones to present it, start to look towards the partners that we now have in the community, which we didn't have, you know, 28 years ago, to see if they want to come in and help us, you know. So and do something a little bit different, but it might be, you know, it might come back bigger and better than before, but it'll, you know, at least I have time.
We look forward to whatever it is that you guys are going to have in store for us.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's find out just a few more things about you. Obviously, you take in a lot of arts and entertainment. When it's not kind of work-related, when you're just going out yourself, what do you like to be entertained by?
Well, I am, and you know, I love all types of music. I grew up listening to Eminem, Britney Spears, classical music as an organist. So, you know, Beethoven and Chopin, and I, you know, kind of span all over. Uh-huh. I will say I did not love country music until probably about 6 years ago. Okay. And I don't know what happened. Something flipped the switch and now I love all music. I can actually say that, and it's truthful. So I, you know, listen to everything from Post Malone to a lot of, we had some local bands in upstate New York that I fell in love with. I'm a huge reggae fan. Tough Roots, if they're ever playing around here, I'm like, I will be front and center, like grooving. It's, you know, I really do love listening to them. But I go and see the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra quite a bit because my brother's actually getting to sub in now.
Excellent.
On violin. So not only the family connection, but still an avid classical music fan. And honestly, you know, going down to Remedy, I sometimes just go and I don't know who's playing and I just show up and it's just, I love music. Okay. Always have.
Excellent.
So
what about hobbies then?
Oh.
Is there time?
You know, over the last couple of weeks, maybe not quite as much time, but I love doing yoga. I'm a huge yoga person on the side. I actually had a fashion blog going for a little while.
Oh my.
Yeah, because, you know, when I first moved here and I was kind of doing gigs back in DC, I was trying to suss out, you know, what was happening, but I was also a little bit bored. So I figured I'd give myself a social media lesson. So I did a fashion blog and worked with a lot of the retailers downtown and focused mainly on local Sioux Falls boutiques. So that was a lot of fun. And I learned a lot, which I'm now carrying into this.
Excellent.
So that was a big hobby. I have two dogs at home. So I really like, I have a Bichon Poo and Yorkie Poo.
Okay.
And they're both about 10 years old. So
wow.
I know, but they act like they're puppies. They're crazy. So
spoiled, huh?
Yeah, definitely spoiled. Yes.
Excellent.
And you know, now that we moved to Sioux Falls, we could actually afford to invest in a house. And so now that keeps us a lot busier than I anticipated. Yeah. There's a lot more dusting.
And over last weekend, snow removal.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, the best wedding gift that my husband and I got was my brother waited until we had moved here to give us a snow blower. And I have never been more thrilled in my life.
Yeah. Consider yourselves one of the lucky ones.
Yes. Yes. We do try to do our neighbors if they don't have one. So, you know, we'll just, it's also so much fun. As long as it's not freezing outside, it's like trucking along with a little snow blower. It's so much fun to watch the snow spray everywhere.
Yes,
so.
It is. That's for sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate you being on the Dave Holly Hour. And if you hear some noise in the background, that's because we're at a fun spot called Woodgrain. Mm-hmm. And that is also one of the great things about doing a podcast versus regular old radio. I get to drink a beer. You can drink a beer here.
Yes.
There, to
cheers.
You.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. Our arts and entertainment gets jammed this weekend. So many things going on, but using the word jammed was a play on words because Snow Jam is part of that, and Luke Johnson is one of the organizers of it, and you are here to talk about the fact that you guys are going to take up a huge chunk of the weekend. My goodness gracious.
Yeah, we've got shows running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. I think it's, including the afternoon open mic on Saturday, 7 or 8 shows all told.
Incredible. How many different performers will be here?
We have got 30 comics coming in from all over the country and possibly one from Canada. I would have to check. And we have two headliners this year, one to open the festival, one to close it. Mike Malone is opening the festival, and then closing it out at Remedy will be Sean Jordan, who was from Sioux Falls originally, and we're very excited to have him to headline the festival this year.
That's fantastic. Now, this is year three?
This is year four.
Four. Okay. Year four of this. Mm-hmm. So, as it grows, what's it take to make it bigger and better every year?
Well, one of the key aspects is making sure people know about it, because you know, once people get introduced, then they're more interested in being part of it in the future. We've had people apply. We've had more submissions every year, I think. And those people who come to the festival go out into their own scenes and tell people what a great time they had. And then those people start applying to our festival as well.
All right. So 30 comics this year. How many submissions then were there that you had to whittle down?
I believe we had over 150.
Wow. So what does that process entail for those of you that put this together?
Well, every comedian who applies sends a submission video, and we have to watch through them and judge accordingly. And if enough of us like a person, then they'll probably get in. But this year we had a really strong lineup, and there were some people we really wanted but had to turn away.
That's incredible. That has to be kind of a bittersweet part of it, though, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, but it's still kind of heartbreaking because, like, you see a set that you really liked.
Right.
And maybe someone else wasn't quite on board, and that person doesn't get to be a part of the festival. But, you know, we've also had a lot of people who have applied in years where maybe they weren't enough, and then they applied later. They've gotten stronger as performers, and this year they've gotten in. So that's
excellent.
Always very exciting to
see. That's the thing that we end up talking about quite often when it comes to the comedians, especially on this show, is that there is a growth. In fact, we just had one of the other co-founders of this festival. Dan Bublitz was on last week. And Dan, of course, has a great podcast as well, The Art of Bombing.
Yes.
And talking about how you all have to go through that. And what was it like for you then in that aspect of becoming a comic?
Right. I started doing it regularly fairly late in life. I've only been at it for almost 5 years now when I moved to Sioux Falls. And there were definitely growing pains. You start out, maybe you have a set that goes well, so you feel confident. And then the next week you tell the same jokes and no one cares. And that's always rough. You think of something you're proud of and then nobody likes it, and you've got to retool it or just scrap it all together. It's a lot of time and effort and work, but when it comes off, it's such a fantastic feeling. So much fun.
And obviously that's the same feeling that probably comes along with a good, successful festival too.
Right. Yeah. Dan has run many festivals before. I think the rest of us, this might be our first one. Timmy Williams and Nate Holtz were part of the original leadership team, and I came on later. And it's been a learning process, but as we learn, we get better at things. And I think this year has been the smoothest to put together, which is very exciting.
But obviously time consuming.
Oh, absolutely.
150 submissions, and, and you're looking at people doing routines. Those submissions, how long did they have to be? What was a minimum on it?
We told them that we would... sort of the maximum was 5 minutes. We weren't going to watch anything past that. There were a few shorter ones, but most of them ran the full five.
Okay. So similar to like an open mic set?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. And is that how you got started doing open mic?
Yep. I attended sporadically when I still lived in Vermilion. I went to one at one of the old clubs, Fat Daddy's. But when I moved to town, I found out about the one they had at Rookies. Which is now Sickies on Louise. And that's how I met the scene. That's how I met all the comics. And we've just kept it going ever since.
Well, what's great about this is there's been comedy clubs in the past here in town. And then they closed down. But it seems that ever since that last portion closed down before we got Bosses to be a regular spot.
Right.
Is really when it was a grassroots effort from all the comedians in this area.
Yeah, when that last club closed down, I think that lit a fire under a few of us, realizing that we would have to start making our own way in comedy. And so we put more effort into booking our own shows, finding new venues. That's why, like, Skylar Bulks has set up his monthly shows at the Bonus Round on Cliff. I do shows at Full Circle Book Co-op, things like that.
And that has been another part of the growth of arts and entertainment in Sioux Falls especially, but in the Sioux Empire overall. It's just the fact that there are so many more opportunities for people to create their own places, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. There's, all kinds of venues that have that little performance space, and they're always open to new ideas and new things. Full Circle, for example, has constant like poetry nights and music nights and all kinds of things, and I'm glad they've found room for comedy as well.
And we're finding room in the Sioux Empire this weekend for lots of comedy. 30 comics, you mentioned. Go through the schedule of opening day till closing evening.
All right. So we're starting off with Mike Malone's special, I believe called Laugh After Death. You can actually see that on Amazon right now. But you can also come see it live at, that will be at Boss's Comedy Club at, I think, 7 p.m. And then 9:30, and I don't have the times in front of me, so I can't confirm any of this, but 9:30 we'll be doing a showcase at Remedy Brewing, and that's where we'll have a full lineup of comedians each doing a mid-range set, so you can see what they're about. I'll be hosting that one. Friday night, I'm very excited for the Snow Jam debut of my game show, Vocabularious. That'll be at 7 p.m. at Boss's, and that is, we take the question cards from board games, and comedians give funny answers instead of real ones. It is such an absolute blast, and I'm very excited for it to be part of the festival this year.
Excellent. Did you have a tough time picking that one, or did you leave that to everybody else on the board?
I believe we sort of, when we had our full lineup of comedians that we were going to invite, we asked them which shows they wanted to be a part of, and then scheduled things accordingly. We had to do some shuffling around, as you must, but we've got some really good comics who wanted to be a part of this show, and I'm very excited about it. At 9:30, we have another showcase at Remedy Brewing on Friday night. And then at 11:30, a special late show is called Roast Yourself with Mike Perry, where a comedian performs. And while they're doing that, our panel will write roast jokes about that comedian. And then that comic has to read them in front of the audience.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, that should be a really good
time.
So
that's a late night on Friday.
Yep. And then Saturday, we've got a sort of a brunch open mic at Books and Brews at 1:30.
And where then, they also happen to have incredible pizza.
It is really good.
Yes.
Then we have another showcase. And unfortunately, I can't quite remember the start times on Saturday at the moment. And then we the showcase will be at Boss's. And then after that is the final show at Remedy Brewing with Sean Jordan. And I believe that is an all Sioux Falls lineup for that show, because we'll have one of the hosting is Nathan Holtz. We'll also have Alicia Rain from Huron and Sioux Falls local Andy Swan performing on that show.
Oh, fantastic. See, that's what's also great about this Snow Jam is the fact that there are so many local people involved.
Right.
Not just in the involvement of putting it together and organizing, but being a part of it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of simply being on the festival in its first year, and it's really cool to see people come in from all these other scenes and see what Sioux Falls is all about, both as a comedy scene and as a city. We have had many people even go so far as to tell Nathan that they want to move here. They have such a good time over the weekend.
That's a really good thing to spout off for the city, but also for the comic scene that has come along here.
Oh, absolutely. We're very proud of what we built here in this town, and can't we just wait to see it grow even more.
True. And in the meantime, let's talk about the fact that there is a benefactor out of this.
Yes.
And the Special Olympics is a wonderful organization. What made you want to get involved with them?
That was something formed by the original founders. I know that particular organization is very special to Timmy Williams in particular. And one of the other Watertown comics who we're good friends with, a man named Lee Bruns, I believe has children that participate in the Special Olympics of South Dakota. And that just makes the whole organization more special to comedy in South Dakota as well.
Yeah. And then obviously it has to be a great feeling at the end of a festival to say, hey, Special Olympics, we got something for you.
Yeah. it's a good time for a good cause. And I mean, we're really proud of what we've done with this. And can't wait to do more.
And after last weekend's blizzard that threw a few of you that were in the comedy scene out of some gigs.
Yes, unfortunately.
It's also nice that we're supposed to have some decent weather. And so that should pull people in. But it's also kind of a take on the fact that we do live in the upper Midwest, and that this time of year might have some snow associated with it and some bad weather. But people are still willing to get out. Break the cabin fever, and then for your entertainers to be able to want to come in.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, a lot of these folks are coming in just as a way to expand their reach, get their names out there, and it's just really cool to see how much they enjoy Sioux Falls and what a great time they have at our festival. So we're glad to have them, and we're glad to have anyone who comes out to the shows.
When you talk about 30 comedians that are going to be here, what can we expect in terms of a range of the comedy that we'll see?
I mean, you are going to see all kinds of things. There, just about every style is going to be represented. You'll have storytellers. You'll have one-liner comics, observational comics. You'll see just ranters. You'll have some, you know, people who have characters that they perform on stage. And it's going to be any type of comedy that you might like, you're going to see it this weekend.
What are you looking forward to most?
I'm definitely looking forward to Vocabularious the most because, like almost all comics, I am a raging egomaniac. But the headliner show with Sean Jordan is also going to be really special. I'm very excited for that, just to see the turnout we get and to see, you know, Sioux Falls welcome one of its own back to do a show. It's going to be great.
What does the camaraderie get to be on a weekend such as this amongst the comics?
It's pretty impressive to see, because especially in larger scenes, things are a bit more cutthroat because they're all basically competing for work. But festivals, especially festivals that are for charity, you don't see that level of competition. It's we're all here to perform and to have a good time. And you'll see people, you know, going to the bars in groups. You'll see them go out to, you know, we'll meet up for dinner and just talk and learn from each other and make friends. We had some really special stuff last year in the build up to the headliner, Kevin McDonald from the Kids in the Hall. There was a sketch writing class that went on that day. It was learning how to write sketches through improv. And we saw like some comics sort of meld together that I, to my knowledge, had never hung out before, and they become fast friends, and that was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and then that's got to be a great networking part for all of you too, besides just the camaraderie.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you make an impression on one of the out-of-town comics, then you can say, hey, I'm coming into your city soon. Is there anything you have for me? And we'll also have lots of the comics coming back to Sioux Falls to do shows. We just had Brendan Gay do a show at Boss's. He was on year two of Snow Jam, and he was one of the best we had that year. He was fantastic. Last year, Alan Richardson, who's been on the festival twice, he came out from Massachusetts and did a full weekend of shows. He also did shows in Watertown and Sioux City. He was all over the place, and it was such a joy having him back in the state.
How do you describe yourself as a comedian?
I do a little bit of a lot of things. Like, I'll do some of the one-liners. I've got some storytelling, and I've got, like, some just full-on rants. But I am working on crafting sort of a narrative, and so there's a through thread for my longer set, which I'm pretty pleased with.
All right, so when it comes to somebody that comes up to you and says, you know what, Luke, I've been thinking about doing one of the open mics. How do I go about it, and what should I know going into it?
Well, what you should know going into it, we honestly recommend, like, if you feel like you're not ready to perform and haven't gone to an open mic, just go to one or two, see what they're all about. Next is, of course, writing and preparing, because, just actually having a set, writing it down, and running through it just, like, in front of the mirror for a while. That'll help you get more comfortable when you do go on stage. As far as, you know, interaction with others, make sure, please be respectful to the other performers. That's just, you know, being decent people makes this whole thing work. And the other thing is respect the light. Traditionally at open mics, there'll be a light that goes on to let you know that you've got about a minute left. Make sure to keep an eye on that. Don't go over your time. Don't just keep rambling for 5 minutes, then you're ruining everyone's fun. And then it's also important to be yourself. You have to, especially if you want to make something out of this, you'll have to find what you can bring to the stage that no one else has. And standing out is a good way to, build a name for yourself.
Right. And that's obviously got to be a tough part, because when, just as an average person that enjoys comedy, and you go, oh man, I really like the stuff that he does, I wonder if I could do that myself. But you've got to make sure that even if that's maybe the style you want, you still have to bring you to it.
Right. It's certainly one thing to take inspiration from others, and certainly I have. I've got my favorites, George Carlin, of course, Louis Black, Will Durst was a favorite. but I have to bring the things that are that are me. And what I've kind of done is doing a lot of mining my family history for stories, mm-hmm. because that has turned out to be a gold mine, because we're all not normal people.
The raging egomaniac, I believe you referred to it as.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What were the nerves like the first time you did it?
Oh, it was, especially like the first few times I did open mics, I didn't have a plan. So that was always horrible. But, like once you've done it for a bit, you've built a little set. And then, just about to go on stage was absolutely nerve-wracking. And then when you get off, if you've done well, you are riding this high and have to be off by yourself for a while just to calm down. Whereas if you don't do well, you still have to be by yourself for a while.
Is there a lot of loneliness that comes into comedy?
I don't know. I think that's where the importance of our comedy community comes in. Because, I mean, it can be lonely if you're on the road and not traveling with anyone. But, if you build a network, then you can bring people along with you to your shows, and that helps. But now it's important to make friends as well as business contacts, I think.
Right. No doubt about that. Before we get on to a couple other things, let's kind of wrap up about the festival itself.
Of course.
Where can people, first of all, how much are tickets?
The tickets are $10 per show, except for the Sean Jordan one. That one's $20. And you can get an all-access weekend pass as well.
And those how much is that?
Off the top of my head, I do not know. But those are available through our Facebook page or the website.
All right. And what is the Facebook page and the website that people can get details of the full festival in?
All right. The website is snowjamcomedyfest.com, and that is snow without the W. So S-N-O-J-A-M, Comedy Fest. And if you search for that phrase on Facebook, you will find the Facebook page.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. So let's move on then. Just a little bit more about you, yourself, mm-hmm. And what you enjoy when you're not doing comedy. What other type of entertainment do you like to go see?
Well, we've had a good time going to see some of the local bands. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend is a very big fan of live music, so that's always fun for us to go out to. We've seen like JS Quintet multiple times.
Yes.
They're great. We went to the Sioux River Folk Fest last year down in Newton Hills, and that was an amazing time. And that has inspired me to pursue the banjo, and I received Christmas. So I've started learning a little bit.
Good for you.
Very excited. And my girlfriend is also, she's a piano teacher, so she plays piano and is learning the accordion because we have one of those now. Our neighbors do not like us.
I have a very good friend that says live music is good for the soul, and I always think of that, and that's one of the other great things about going out around this area as well. So then, aside from the entertainment, what do you like, what do you have for hobbies when you're not busy writing comedy?
I do a little bit of watching TV and movies. I read a lot. I've also been training this is still a tie into the comedy, but I've been training myself how to edit video, and that's been fun.
Excellent.
And that's, again, a useful skill, because that's those video clips you can then send out and saying, hey, here's what I'm about. Book me.
Self-marketing.
Exactly. Yeah. And video games, a lot of those.
Do you play pinball against Skylar at all?
I don't do a whole lot of pinball because mostly because the bonus round is on the other side of town. It's too far. I was always more of the arcade game type. So you throw some original Mario Brothers or
the classics.
Yeah, something like that at me, and I'm a happy man.
All right, fantastic. Well, we're happy that you had some time to spend with us today. Again, Snow Jam this weekend. You can find out all the details, Snow Jam Comedy Festival.
Snow Jam Comedy Fest.
Fest.com. And then search it on Facebook. You'll get all the info there as well.
Hope to see you out there this weekend.
Will do. Looking forward to it. All right. And we will be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment. Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, get us into the week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, make it peak. It's the weekend and so many shows. The Ace Calendar will help you decide where to go. Arts, community, entertainment. Let's ace this!
Thank you, Miss Melissa's. Being part of the volunteer staff here at the Dave Holly Hour, she will be joining a few of us tonight at the Icon Lounge for Goodnight Theater Collective's Guilty Pleasures Cabaret. Can't wait to see it. They always put on a great show. Then tomorrow night, we'll be at the Sky Lounge in T for Super Bowl trivia that I'm hosting. And a good chance we might be at the Sky on the Saturday as well for some second anniversary antics. Believe it or not, it's going to feature $2 You Call It starting at 6. And one of our past guests from this show, Elizabeth Hunstead, she's going to be playing later in the eve. Tonight at 6 at Reach Literacy is the Duct Tape Killer True Crime Book Talk. Saturday, 8 p.m. is the Singer-Songwriter Showcase at Full Circle Book Co-op. For some comedy, it's a big weekend. You heard Luke Johnson's Snow Jam Comedy Festival runs through Saturday at various locations. For complete details, go to snowjamcomedyfest.com. And remember, there's no W, so it's S-N-O-J-A-M comedyfest.com. Improv Falls always puts on a good show as well. They're going to be at the Icon Saturday night at 8. Some rising stars of late night TV, the Good Humor Men, will be playing the Orpheum Saturday night at 7:30. And we'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to this week's guest, Alex Gilbert Trog, the new executive director of the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society, and local comedian Luke Johnson, one of the organizers of Snow Jam Comedy Fest. Thanks as well to Woodgrain Brewery and The Source, both in downtown Sioux Falls, for allowing us some nice places to record. Thanks to our sponsors, Quality Nails, XL Chiropractic, and The Sky Lounge. And thank you for all the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter likes, as well as the listening you do on Apple, Spotify, Podbean. We're getting close to a milestone with this show. That's a tease toward the next few weeks. Don't forget to read my first Holidays blog, available on this week's on this show's website, DaveHollyHour.com. And you want to pass along an event, a guest idea, etc., please email DaveHollyHour@gmail.com. DaveHollyHour, all one word, all lowercase. And again, thanks for listening. Join us again next Thursday for more Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.